We ready? Okay. Oh. Well, praise the Lord. For anybody that may end up listening to this online or even seeing it live, I give the funny faces. I didn't know we were on. But you missed the portion where the Lord had laid something on Steve's heart and he got up and shared. And it has to do with being faithful and obedient with what God has already put in front of you. Okay? This morning, the word that I have prepared is much in the same vein. I just want to share that with you. This is going to be For Want of a Nail, is what the title of the sermon is. If you would, go ahead and turn to Hebrews 1. We'll turn there in just a moment. I was reminded as I prepared for this that 4 years ago, almost to the day, I was preparing a sermon to be delivered for a grade at Christ for the Nations in front of my fellow classmates. And during that time and during the preparation of that, I had created an opening for that sermon. And it's still applicable today, as always, God can do the impossible. Amen? And 4 years ago, I had announced that Donald Trump had just been elected president and that the Chicago Cubs had just won the World Series. If those two things can happen, anything can happen. And in the midst of what's going on 4 years later during the election, and it's been said by many before me, and I'm just saying it again this morning, I praise the Lord that my Savior and my hope is not in who is President of the United States, it's in Jesus Christ who is my King. Amen. Hebrews chapter 1. If you'll look there with me now, I'm reading from the Tree of Life version. If anybody's online and they want to make it easier on themselves, they don't even get that in front of them. This chapter in my Bible is titled The Superiority of the Son. And verse 1 begins this way: At many times and in many ways, God spoke long ago to the fathers through the prophets. In these last days, He has spoken to us through His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom He created the universe. This Son is the radiance of His glory and the imprint of His being, upholding all things by His powerful word. When He had made purification for our sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Thus He became as far above the angels as the name that He has inherited is more excellent than theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my Son, today I have become your Father"? And again, "I will be to Him a Father, and He will be to me a Son." And again, when He brings the firstborn into the world, He says, "Let all the angels of God worship Him." And regarding the angels, He says, "He makes His angels winds and His servants a flame of fire." But regarding the Son, He says, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. And a scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your companions. And in the beginning, O Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands. They shall pass away, but you remain. And they will all wear out like clothing, and like a robe you will roll them up, and like clothing they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years shall never end. But to which of the angels has He ever said, 'Sit at my right hand, until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet'? Are they not all ministering spirits, sent out for service to those about to inherit salvation?" Chapter 2, just a few verses in. For this reason, it is necessary for us to pay especially close attention to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved to be firm, and every violation and disobedience received a just payback, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? It was first spoken through the Lord and confirmed to us by those who heard. At the same time, God was testifying by signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Spirit of the Lord according to His will. Amen. Guys, we have been called not to neglect so great a salvation. To neglect is to give little attention or respect to disregard, to leave undone or unattended, especially through carelessness. Neglect implies giving insufficient attention to something that has claim to one's attention. The salvation of our God has claim to your attention, to your energies, to your mental capacities, to your desires, to your hopes, to your very being. It has claim. I just want to encourage you this morning. Steve said, and he talked about being faithful to what God has already put in front of you, that in order to obtain more and more revelation, more knowledge, more usefulness, you first have to be faithful and obedient with what He's placed in front of you. He talked about the things, the beginning of things. They're good things. They have to be learned, but we move on from those things. And sometimes it's good to be reminded. Well, guys, this morning it's just a reminder. Number one, do not neglect your love for one another. And one of the ways that we do that is by not neglecting your prayer for one another. But I think I want those two thoughts to hit home as heavily as God has intended for them to in His Word, in that these are things that you are not to be careless with and negligent of. So number one, do not neglect your love for those God has called you to walk out your salvation with. We just read in chapter 2, verse 3 of Hebrews again, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? He has saved us. Remember, that does not just mean that He stamped our hands and given us a ticket to heaven. It's not just the forgiveness of our sins. That is part of it, and that is a great part of it. But He's also delivered us from sin, and He's delivered us from a kingdom of darkness and placed us within His kingdom of light, that we are to be ambassadors on this earth. And there are others that have been called with us that we could work this salvation out and see His kingdom come now. It's not about sitting on clouds in the after. It's about His kingdom come, His will be done. There will come a day where He will descend from the clouds, and we will join to meet Him. But guess what? It's only for Him to return and establish all things and truly put all things under Him in the here and now. Listen to me. God hasn't just saved me. He has saved we. And I am to care as much about the we and more than I am to about the me. Now, He cared more about the we, which made me special, meaning that even if it had just been me, He still would have came, because He says, I came for the one. He leaves the 99 and goes after the one. But that does not negate the fact that there was still a 99. So that the one could be rejoined to the 99 so that we could be a we. It's about we. Jesus said, the world will know that you are my disciples by your love for one another. How are they going to know that there is a we? Because we will express love towards one another. In Mark chapter 12, verse 29 and 31, Jesus said this, when He was questioned and asked what the greatest commandments were, He said, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Do you want to summarize what the Old Covenant was about? Loving God first and foremost with your entire being, and then loving your neighbor as yourself. In Romans chapter 12, verse 10 and 13, it says, be tenderly devoted to one another in brotherly love. Outdo one another in giving honor. Do you want to be competitive? Be competitive about the right things. Be competitive to the end that you're going to outdo lifting others up around you. Contributing, verse 13, to the needs of the saints and extending hospitality tenderly. How does a mother, when she's not stretched thin and at the end of a rope and wanting to pull her hair out in the middle of the night, how does a mother care for her child? Tenderly. She oohs and awes over that baby. We have been called to love one another tenderly. Anybody ever heard of John Wooden? I figured you had, Brian. John Wooden was an American basketball player and a coach. He was the head coach of the UCLA and won 10 NCAA national championships in a 12-year period, including an unprecedented 7 in a row. Wooden was named the National Coach of the Year 6 times. Wooden was also the first person ever enshrined as a member of the Basketball Hall of Fame, as both a player and as a coach. He was and is regarded as one of the wisest and best college coaches in the history of college basketball. Now, I'm sharing all that just to kind of give you an idea of who he was. Because I'd come across one of his quotes that I wanted to share this morning, but I'm going to give you a few freebies just because there were so many that were good, and I just want to just kind of throw some out there. But a few things that he said. He said, "Consider the rights of others," and this just ties in with loving one another. "Consider the rights of others before your own feelings, and the feelings of others before your own rights." I mean, he might as well have plagiarized the Bible. That I am at liberty to give up my liberties because of my love for you. I don't want to do anything, even if God has said it's okay for me to do, if it's going to cause you to stumble in your walk towards Christ. I feel at liberty to drink wine, but if you have an offense with wine, guess what? I'm not going to drink wine for your sake. Why? Because what is wine to me? It's nothing. What are you? Everything. Christ died for you. He didn't die for the wine. Consider the rights of others before your own feelings and the feeling of others before your own rights. He also said, do not let what you cannot do interfere with what you can do. Kind of sounds like what Steve was saying. God has already put things in front of you. Be faithful and obedient in those things. If you don't have time to do it right, when will you have time to do it over? Now, that may not tie in. I just thought it was really good. Guys, if something's worth doing, do it right the first time, because you have to ask yourself, do I have time to go back and do it right a second time if I didn't do it right the first time? You might as well have done it right the first time. He says, never mistake activity for achievement. Never mistake activity for achievement. We are a culture that likes to do and we like to lift up and praise what we call innovators when a lot of it is not innovation at all. Better to be faithful with the things God has put in front of you and maintain a steadfast heart and guard that heart He's given than to go out doing all these new things that He's not called you to do rather than being good at the things that He has called you to do. There are many things that are essential to arriving at a true peace of mind. And one of the most important is faith, which cannot be acquired without prayer. And then part of the reason that I quoted him at all to begin with this morning, it's the little details that are vital. Little things make big things happen. Again, he said, it's the little details that are vital. David was faithful as a shepherd boy before he was faithful as a king. First, his loving of the sheep. First, loving the sheep he was entrusted with. Now, I don't share that antidote about David to think about people as stepping stones, that I'm using you so that God will take me to the next place. What I'm saying is, if I can't love you well and we can't love each other well, how is God ever going to entrust us with something larger? How is He ever going to bring other people into the fold to be loved if we're not even loving each other, the ones that He's already given us? We won't. Don't deceive yourself. Paul remembered all those to whom he had ministered to. They were constantly in his thoughts and in his prayers. In every one of his letters, he talks of weeping over them in his prayers when he thinks about them in remembrance. And he remembers people by name. And this is a man that had traveled and preached to hundreds and thousands of people. And yet he's recalling people by name and by face and by sight and continuing to be faithful to lift them up. Why? Because he truly loved them. Not just in word, but in deed. He loved them. Hear me this morning. Do you want God to take notice of where you are be faithful of loving those around you. The poor woman in the temple was faithful with her two little mites, and God took notice of her act of obedience to give all she had, and it's still bringing God glory to this day. Be faithful to love the ones around you, from the lowliest to the greatest. It doesn't matter. Love them well. We're to love one another as we love ourselves. We live in a culture, both church and secular, where bigger is often considered better. But God says faithfulness is better. Be faithful first to love those well that He has already placed in your life. God can do bigger, but bigger is built upon all the small acts of faithfulness, of obedience to those that He has called you to now. We're always looking to tomorrow when He's put things in front of you that you have to be obedient to now. In Philippians 2, 3 through 5, and when I read these, I'm not preaching at you. When I read verses like this, it moves me. These aren't my words. These are God's words. It's speaking through Paul writing to the Philippians. He says this, do nothing. Everybody say nothing. Nothing. Nothing out of selfishness or conceit, but with humility, consider others as more important than yourselves. Can I really let that be truth in my life? To think I really consider your well-being more important than my own? How could I? I just met you. But He tells me to consider you more important than myself. Guess what? We wouldn't have a church as we know it if that's not how Jesus had thought. If that's not how Jesus had lived. He could have called angels from heaven down, and everything that was about to happen would have been stopped in its tracks because of the authority that He had. But He was submitted to the Father in love towards us so that we could be saved. Consider others more important than yourselves, looking out not only for your own interest, but also for the interest of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. I again encourage you this morning, do not neglect your love for one another. Steve mentioned this morning and what God had prompted him. It may be as simple of an act as going and putting your arm around someone. Whatever it is, be obedient. That's all He's asking, just be obedient. And He's called you to love one another. And I said this morning, and I'll be quick in this next part, but one of the ways, y'all realize that as this election was coming, that there were a lot of Christians crying out for prayer, and rightly so. We're called to be a praying people. Jesus said that His house will be called the house of prayer. And I'm thankful that people are praying. I just hope that once this season is over, and if we have opportunity and step back into some normalcy, that people don't cease to pray. One of the greatest things that we can do for one another is pray for one another. As an act of love and service for one another, I'm asking you to pray for one another. Pray for one another persistently. Pray for one another faithfully. Pray for one another earnestly. Pray for one another. Do not neglect to pray for those that God has saved along beside you. Again, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Guess what, ladies and gentlemen? Not everyone in the world that prays has heard of God, but you are. Why? Because of the blood of the Lamb. There are many that cry out to God. There's a scene in the movie Gladiator. Anybody ever seen it? And we know that Maximus' character is being reconciled into the woman. I can't remember her name right now. Who he does not have a lot of love for when they first see each other again. Anybody remember her name? I can't remember it offhand. But anyway, and she's trying to convince him that she's not the same person she was. And she looks at him and she says, "Oh, don't think I don't pray. I pray." Guys, it doesn't matter that she prays. Not everyone's prayers are heard. I know that sounds cold, but it's the truth. You have been given a special privilege in Christ to be intercessors on behalf of each other and behalf of those outside who are not of faith. Not everyone can do that. And not only can we do it, but it says that we can approach the throne of God boldly with our prayers. We don't want to neglect this gift because it's a special position. And guess what? It's something that every one of us can do. For all the gifts that have been poured out on the body of Christ, prayer is not unique to any one of us. There is no one that can stop you from praying. It costs you nothing. Accept your time. Again, one of the ways that we show love for one another is to pray for one another. I think prayer is one of the most simple yet profound activities that gets neglected. A few verses, Matthew chapter 26, verse 41 says, keep watching and praying. Keep watching and praying. Keep on doing. That's got forward momentum. It's not pray right now. It's continue doing so that you won't enter into temptation, he told his disciples. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. This same thought was iterated when they asked him how to pray, and he quoted what we often call the Lord's Prayer. And within that prayer, he said, Lord, deliver me from temptation. In Luke chapter 6, verse 27 and 28, but I say to you who are listening, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for the ones who mistreat you. Not just to those out there. If we're called to pray for those that aren't even in the house of God, how much more so those that are in the house of God? Now, not by show of hands, I don't want anyone to put their hands up, but how many of you can say this morning that you've been faithful to pray for the rest of the members of this body every day this week? And honestly, how many of you could say that? There's a proverb. Now just keep that in your mind, because it's very serious that we be sober and faithful with our prayer lives. There's a proverb called For Want of a Nail. It's got numerous variations over several centuries, reminding us that seemingly unimportant acts or omissions can have great and unforeseen consequences. And it goes like this, the longer version of a poem. For want of a nail, the shoe was lost. I'm about the nail on a horseshoe, okay? For the want of a nail, the shoe was lost. For want of a shoe, the horse was lost. For want of a horse, the knight was lost. Speaking of not the nighttime, but a knight riding the horse, right? For want of a knight, the battle was lost. For want of the battle, the kingdom was lost. And so a kingdom was lost all for the want of a nail. A minor issue escalates and compounds itself into a major issue. This particular proverb is so popular, it's been used throughout pop culture and media, in TV series and sitcoms and songs. Anybody remember the Christian group? I don't even know if they're still around, but the Newsboys. One of their songs even was an entire riff off of this proverb, and the song was called It's All Who You Know. And just to kind of give you the opening line, it was, for the want of a marker, the doctors lost their place. Anybody ever had surgery and the doctors come and draw on you and you think, man, if they don't know that they're operating on my right arm, we're in trouble. But guys, it's the little things that matter because mistakes happen. So they come in and they make sure. We know where we're making the cut. We don't want to mess this thing up. Anybody ever watched the show Monk before? So, for want of a nail was referenced in Monk, and I'm only sharing it because it tickles me, because we had watched Monk after Michael had suggested it, and Katie and I enjoyed it. But in an episode called Mr. Monk at Your Service, he goes undercover as a butler, which, if you've ever watched it, you know is crazy, because he can't hardly get any work done because he's so OCD that he gets stuck in one place for too long a period of time trying to make everything perfect. But Monk quotes the proverb after being challenged by an employee that suggests a fork being a centimeter off wasn't a problem. So he's setting up all the dinnerware for the party, and Monk is just scrutinizing all of it. And he's like, no, this will never work. And it's one little centimeter off. And the guy's like, you're being over the top with this. And Monk says, for the want of a nail, the kingdom was lost. You know, and so very important to him that fork was in the right place. And I'm here to tell you, though, this morning that for want of prayer, the children of God are lost. Do you hear me? Guys, it's something that, of all the things that we could argue about and debate about, the things that we've been called to and how we're to present the gospel and all the different, and are the gifts of God for today, well, we know that they are. But something that the church doesn't fight about is that we've been called to pray, and yet we're not always faithful to do so. We have been called to be a people of prayer. If my people would, that often quote verse from Chronicles, if my people would what? Humble themselves. And what? And pray and seek my face and repent of their what? Their wickedness. I would come and do what? Heal their land. Listen to these verses about how we're to pray for one another. In Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 11b through 12, it says this, keep serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, enduring in distress, persisting in prayer. Prayer is something we're not to give up on. It's something we're to persist in. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, pray in the Spirit on every occasion. Now, Steve had talked a lot about that first step of obedience and praying in tongues. Guys, one of the benefits that the Scripture makes clear, and you can argue with it if you want to, but Paul's very clear about this. One of the benefits is tongues is that you do have the ability to pray outside of your understanding. So guess what? It's a whole lot easier to persist in prayer when you can pray without your understanding than trying to pray when you do understand meaning. Anybody ever prayed and then you just kind of wax to the end of not knowing what else to pray about and what else to say? When you're praying in tongues, that's not an issue. Because your understanding's not involved. And you say, well, our understanding should be involved. Yes, it should. That's why Paul said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pray in tongues, and I'm going to pray with my understanding as well. I'm going to sing in tongues, but I'm also going to sing with my understanding as well. Guys, you can do both. It's not one or the other. Pray in the Spirit on every occasion with all kinds of prayers, says Paul, and requests. With this in mind, keep alert with perseverance and supplications for all the saints. Again, with this in mind, keep alert with perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Colossians 4:2, devote yourselves to prayer. We're to be devoted to it. I'm devoted to my hour and a half with Katie every night when we make our children leave the room and the little ones go to bed. And the older ones that get to stay up an extra hour do not come back in that room once we've sent them out of that room, because that time is special. If I can devote myself to that so that Katie and I have time alone, how much more should I devote when I've been commanded to time to be with God so that I can pray the way that He's called me to pray? Well, without excuse, it costs you time. Part of our walk in Christ, and that is not to condemn anyone, it's to purpose that we will make time to do the things that He's called us to do. Devote yourselves to prayer. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Pray constantly. 1 Timothy 2:8. So I desire all men to pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without anger and argument. Let's not falter, and let's not see our brothers and sisters falter for want of prayer. Jesus prayed for Peter. Why? Because He knew the enemy wanted to sift Peter like wheat. And so Jesus was praying and interceding on behalf of Peter. Just as He interceded on our behalf, He was praying for us before He ever went to the cross. He said, Father, I pray not only for these, but those that will believe because of their preaching after I'm gone. They preached, we believed, here we sit, here we stand, here we worship. Let's pray like Jesus prayed for one another. Don't you know that the enemy wants to attack those that are sitting around you? Do not neglect your prayer for one another. And I'm closing with these two things, just as a reminder. Do not neglect your love for one another. And particularly this morning, don't neglect your love for one another by being an absentee prayer warrior on behalf of your brothers and sisters in Christ. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just bless You in this place this morning, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that You would speak to Your children where they need to be spoke to, Lord. That You would emphasize and hit home those things that they need to be obedient to and faithful to that You've put in front of them. Lord, and I pray that there would be a renewed sense of urgency and awakening to the power of prayer and how we're to be persistent in prayer as an expression of love, not just for the world around us that may be perishing, Lord, but for those that are saved and are being saved amongst us, Father. Lord, that we can be found faithful, that there would be no one lost amongst us for want of prayer, Lord. That they would be covered up in prayer. That each one of our names would be coming before You every day by multiple lips, because each one of us has the same care for one another as we have for ourselves, Lord. I lift up every man, woman, and child in this room, and those that are listening elsewhere this morning, Lord, may Your church be awakened to the position that You've called them to in this world. And for such an hour as this, Lord, we bless You in this place. In Jesus' name, amen and amen, and God bless you.